God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Everybody remember that one? Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be. Bless these gifts bestowed by thee. And bless our loved ones everywhere. And keep them in your loving care. Thanks to our Moravians for that blessing. Yesterday I attended a wedding. A blessing was pronounced on a newly married couple. The past weeks in high schools and colleges and universities around the country, graduates graduated and many pronounced a blessing, possibly like this. We ask for your almighty hand to be upon all those who graduate today. Bless their lives from this day on with goodness and love. Help them to stay true to their dreams, to use their gifts wisely, to walk into the future with faith, hope, and great love. If you are a lover of animals, you may have received the blessing of St. Francis for animals. Heavenly Father of all living creatures, we ask you to bless whatever the animal might be, who brings so much joy and love to our lives. As I told the children, as they reminded us, in a sneeze, you bless someone. A lot of times greeting or goodbye. If you live in the South, you're probably blessed at the grocery store and the post office and everywhere else in between. I'm blessed. I'm a blessed individual, and I thank God for all his blessings. God, if we were to go back into the Genesis account, we read about being a creating God. We know as Old Testament readings that God is also a judging God. But thank goodness for the New Testament, and we realize that God is a restoring God. A guiding God throughout Scripture, a saving God, but we must also realize that our God is a blessing God. God's blessing is the power and the essence of life. When you live your life in God, you live in God's power to bless you, and you are given the power to bless. Words like bless and blessing occur at least 400 times in the Bible. On top of that, there are many places where God's blessings are being described, where the words are not actually used. So I think it'd be true to say that blessings is one of the great theme of Holy Scriptures. You've heard a few of these as we talked about Numbers and Psalms, throughout the Proverbs, throughout Psalms, throughout the New Testament, throughout the whole Bible, blessing and bless. To begin with Numbers. If you heard the words closely, you may remember that the words of Numbers are included in what we call our benedictions. You know, benediction, that act that's a pronouncement or a blessing on a person or a divine service. But I think it's wise to remember that blessing, whether it be individually or corporately, stands both at the beginning and the end of one's life with God and in this world. This text that was read this morning is located in a very large section beginning in Numbers 1, going out to Numbers 10, that talks about and describes the Israelites. They are preparing to leave Mount Sinai, where they have been camped for almost a year. And they are beginning that continuation of the journey to the promised land, the land that God had prepared for them. The blessing is designated for Israel's time of departure from Sinai and was to be used daily throughout the journey as they traveled. Five times in this short passage, the Lord makes it very clear that He and He alone is the one capable of blessing the people. And they, throughout the journey, struggle to remember that. He and He alone is capable of blessing them. The Lord is the great and ultimate giver. He blesses. He is the generous giver, and they are to find this out. But it was not an easy journey. There were many doubts. There were many struggles. When Israel received the blessing and when we receive it today, it is God's promise to be with us and His call for us to be a blessing wherever we find ourselves. Someone suggested talking about blessing in light of one's baptism. We carry, whether we know it or not, a mark of baptism is always a part of our lives. There's not a distinguishing mark on us, but we have been touched in the waters of baptism, reminding us that God is with us wherever we are called to life and reminding us that the power of God is present. That was what the Lord was trying to do with the people of Israel in giving His blessing to them. They received the gift of God's blessing so that they could become a blessing to others and not just live in that promised land as a simple people. The Lord bless you and keep you. These are words of deep assurance that the God who gave you life will sustain your life. God will uphold you. Again, in the Psalms and the Proverbs, we hear about blessings. In the psalmist this morning of 103, it is though the psalmist calls on his own soul to feel gratitude. It's almost as the psalmist is writing to himself, reminding him of what he needs to be about. As one suggested, "Bless the Lord, my soul," is so familiar to us that maybe we don't notice how odd that sounds. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It is the self summoning the self to praise, i.e. the self reminding the self of praising, the fact that all of life must be finally and ultimately referred to God's goodness and grace to all of us. And then we hear the psalmist list the benefits of God: healing, redemption, love, mercy, and renewal. And in that psalm, he ends with the image of an eagle, symbolizing God's redeeming power to all of God's people. Psalm 134 concludes a section of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. Here we discover that a life committed to God is a life full of praise to God. One writer said the main thought of the psalm is bless God, bless God, God bless you. Eugene Peterson, who's written and paraphrased The Message along with other books, says, and I quote, "And because God blesses us, we bless God. We respond with that with which we have received. We participate in the process that God has initiated and continues. We who are blessed, bless others." There is no better summarizing and concluding word in all of Scripture, he says, than blessing. It describes what we most prize in God's dealing with us and what is most attractive when we evaluate our way of living. Surely we want God to touch and bless our lives. And if we live within His context and His will, we surely want to be a blessing to others. It is not always easy to recognize blessings. It is not always easy to bless others. But I think it's in this psalm that we also get assurance, for the psalmist, it seems, did not feel like blessing. We are told in the Psalms to lift up your praising hands to the holy place and bless God. Just maybe we can lift up our hands even when we don't feel like blessing God or someone else. It's a simple motor movement to lift up your hands. You may not be able, as Peterson writes, to command your heart, but you can command your arms. Lift up your arms in blessing. Just maybe your heart will get the message and be lifted up also in praise and blessing. The psalmist concludes his thoughts in Psalm 134 by saying, "The chief end of all of us is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever." Or in the vocabulary of Psalm 134, bless the Lord. And then in Luke's gospel, we find a description, the final words of our Lord when He is about to depart. As in the Psalms and in the Old Testament, we see the departing and the blessing consisting of a blessing. He departs and He gives a blessing. The blessing is a priestly act in which Jesus places in His disciples in the care and the favor of His Father God. The disciples, we don't think, are dejected or downcast by the departure of Christ, nor do they look back to Galilee and the life they used to live. Instead, they look for the power from on high, and in the hope they return to Jerusalem and to the temple full of joy and blessing God. And remember, these were the same disciples who had been gathered in that room, locked away, scared that anyone would come, and if they even could go on from there. And now they're full of joy, going to the temple and blessing God. God's purpose is that His people should be the means of bringing blessing to the world, that as we receive His blessing into our lives, those blessings should touch others. One possible definition for blessing could be found in a phrase that Jesus used in John's Gospel, the 10th chapter, that He had come so that those who trust in Him should have life in all its fullness. I think that life in all its fullness would be as good a definition of blessing as we could find. Again, even in the fullness of life, it does not discount the hurt and the pain and the sorrow. But even in the midst of that, God blesses us and others bless us, and we become a blessing. Barbara Brown Taylor, who many of you read and Ray and I quote quite often, writes about blessing in a book entitled Altar in the World. She says, and I quote, "In Jewish tradition, every blessing begins by blessing God. Pronouncing a blessing puts you as close to God as you can get. To pronounce a blessing on something is to see it from a divine perspective. To pronounce a blessing is to participate in God's own initiative." Think about it. As you bless someone, you are participating in that creative act of Almighty God. You are participating in what Jesus came to do and how He blessed those. We are participating in the work of the Almighty. That we are able to bless one another at all is evidence that we have been blessed, whether or not we remember it or whether we can even recall it. Who of us does not need to be affirmed, to be approved, to be blessed? It is a need which is ingrained in all of us. This past year, I've done a lot of reflecting. A lot of reflecting on my own life and thanking God for the blessings of my life, of what I've experienced, of where I've been, of who I've known. Thinking back of where I grew up, no one lives in my hometown anymore. Giving blessings and thanksgiving for my family. Didn't always do those kind of things growing up. For my education at Wingate University. My marriage to Sandra, even though she chased me down on campus. My professional life, now my retired life. I've been blessed. Being called to serve among you here at First Baptist was and has been and always will be a true blessing to my life. You touched me in so many ways, and I am thankful to God and to you for this shared life, for all these years that we walked hand in hand and share together. As a church, you now have the opportunity to continue to pass on those blessings as you welcome Megan to First Baptist. Yes, she is blessed to have you, and you need to bless her as you have your other ministers and staff. Stephen Shoemaker, a former pastor in Texas and in North Carolina, gives what I think is the best definition of trying to find out who we are and what we are about and how the blessings are. He writes in talking about, picture a blessing of God as a great flowing river giving life to the world, the river flowing throughout the land. If you see yourself as a catcher of blessing only, you're catching it just for you, you're holding it for you, you dam up the flow of God's blessing and you become a stagnant pool of water. But on the other hand, if you see yourself as a receiver and giver of blessing, then your life becomes a flowing life stream of blessing. You become one of God's life givers. You become, as the old hymn puts it, a channel of blessing. Who of us doesn't want to be a blessing, to be participating in the very work of Almighty God? True followers are those who know they are blessed and who answer the call to be a blessing. And I know that you, First Baptist, are a true follower, and you are a blessing. If you recall the story of Jacob and Esau and their father Isaac, Jacob is the younger one who steals the birthright, who receives the blessing, and Esau does not. Jacob one night wrestles with God. He has a dream. During that difficult night of sleep, Jacob dreams of a ladder to heaven, and he hears these words, "I will go with you." Jacob was leaving his home, his family, everything that he knew, and he was venturing to another place. He had deceived his father, he was leaving his mother, and now through a dream, God speaks to him and says, "I will go with you." Did Jacob deserve such a dream and such a word from God for what he had done? Jacob received the grace of Almighty God, which is how we are given every benediction and blessing of God by God's amazing grace. Blessings give us something we cannot get for ourselves. It comes as a gift from another. We know if we have it, we probably know when we don't. The crowd heard it on a mountainside in Galilee in that first century. Disciples heard it, and we hear it. You have God's blessings. What you need most is what is essential to life. It is not because of anything you are or have done or will do. Just like Jacob, I am going to be with you. It is simply yours. It is simply mine. And that great Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, challenges us to live like Jesus in our world and our relationships to one another. And having heard that you are a blessing of God, you will find yourself caring about everything else that Jesus said that day on that mountainside. What is more, you will seek it. Meekness and peace, humility and mercy. Knowing that you have God's blessing, you will live a life of blessing. As you welcome Megan, as you welcome the stranger among you, as you welcome the stranger, as you say goodbye to one another, as we live out this journey that God has called us, in this time and space, may we bless God, and may we be a blessing to others. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.